Our scripture for today is from the 5th chapter of Matthew and the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Two scriptures concerning the title of the sermon, which may be a little strange. Who's not to love? Well, anyway, this is from the Christian Standard Bible, as you see in your bulletin. CSB stands for Christian Standard Bible. And I like to tell you which translations we're reading from, because one of the things that I have really tried to do is introduce and make you familiar with the fact that there are a number of wonderful translations of the Bible. Wonderful. And it's good to share them. And we use several different kinds here. I think of someone who's using the King James. I think of someone who's using the New American Standard. I think of someone who's using the New International. And I think of someone who's using the Christian Standard. And there are other translations that are being used by you as you do your daily Bible readings, as you do your readings here at church. Some of you have your Bible in front of you as we worship together and in our worship services. So I think it's very important for us to realize that God's Word is so precious that for so many years now, the translations started very, very early in the 300s, where they decided not everybody read Greek, and not everybody read Hebrew, and not everybody read Aramaic, and so maybe they would put them into other languages, and that's it's developed from there. But we have today Matthew, the 5th chapter, and you will recall, if you will, this is from the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Love your neighbor comes from a scripture that you've heard that it was said. And those to whom he was speaking were being familiarized. This is from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. And again, here's where there's some difference in the manuscripts. Another manuscript says, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. And then we pick up and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And another translation says, so that you may show yourselves to be children of your Father in heaven. It's always good to do that. Show people who you are. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And then from Matthew 22, verse 34 through 39, or through 40, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Again, Jesus referring to Old Testament scripture there, Deuteronomy 6:5. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I already told you that's from Leviticus 19. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. And I think another translation says all the law and the prophets hinge on these two commands. In other words, these two commands set the stage for all of the rest of the law and the prophets. Jesus came into the world of mankind. He came to our earth as a supreme expression of God's love for humans. And we find that Foremost in Christ's teachings is his encouragement that we respond to his Father, God, and to others, we respond in love. Jesus was a devout Jew. His Jewish religious leaders had gone to great lengths over many centuries in their attempts to detail the requirements of God. And I'm sure had gone over the Jewish laws with Jesus in synagogue school, and he remembered them. In fact, they had developed 248 affirmative precepts, affirmative laws, and had developed 365 negative precepts that you as a Jew, they're saying to Jesus, you must keep these and be in proper relationship with God and your fellow man. That's the way you keep them. Then that was what Jesus was learning. Then as an adult Jewish teacher, Jesus, in his divine wisdom, condensed and concentrated the full, real requirements of God into one great word, love. Love. Now, to love God with your whole being means that we are to relate ourselves totally to God, to the end that God deserves for his glory. To love our neighbor the same way we love ourselves means that we are to do all we can to elevate and to advance the neighbor's happiness and well-being, just like we want to do for ourselves. The first and greatest commandment says that we are to love God first and foremost, unconditionally and supremely. You know, some who just don't understand or don't want to understand take this concept of God wanting us to love him above all and unconditionally, take that as proof that the God we worship is a tyrannical God. These egotists, and that's what they are, they're just egotists, who cannot see beyond themselves, use words and descriptions such as God is a totalitarian leader, a ruler who demands that we bow down to him, or else. And you can easily identify such egotistical self-lovers as ones who do not have any notion, any concept of what we who do see beyond self know. That God wants us to understand him not as a tyrant, but as the supreme being who brought us into being, our creator. And he did it through love. He is love. God wants our unconditional love because he himself is the origin, the source of unconditional love. And he created us in his own image. He knows and does love inside and out, upside and down. We are to love God supremely, first and foremost, rather than putting any of these in first place. Our home, our business, our church, our work, even our family. You see, beyond this command that we are to love God, you know, with everything, heart and soul, mind and body, beyond that command, God's rich, graceful love can be discovered everywhere as he seeks to help us with all the concerns of life. But we are not to let that be the full picture. Nothing else matters. Jesus didn't stop there. He went on to include two more in the full scope of who we are to love. Two of God's creations, your neighbor and yourself. Jesus highlighted the absolute importance and necessity of that inclusion. He precisely said, the second command is to be understood just like the first command. And the second is, you are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, one of the reasons we do not love our neighbors more than we do is because because we do not love ourselves properly. Mm-hmm. You may remember that I started this three-part series on the supreme character trait of love, with the first sermon being on loving yourself properly. I thought it was the best place to start. And you know, probably the greatest reason that we don't truly love ourselves properly is because we have neglected to love God supremely. Can love be commanded? Well, some say it cannot. But as a Christian, how do you feel about it? In trying to answer this question as a follower of Christ, we need to ask, what kind of love is Jesus talking about when he issues this comprehensive love command that we love God and love our neighbor, including any enemy, and ourselves? What kind of love does he mean? Well, there are three major kinds of what we identify as love, as real love, not just sort of like or enjoy the company sort of feelings. And those three major kinds are eros, philia, and agape. We're very familiar with the Greek word eros, love. Erotic. Romantic, erotic love is sensual love toward someone. Sexually oriented love. And it can be a very selfish kind of love. But now, our sexuality is a part of the good creation of God. And while it is with an appreciation for the goodness of this gift to the human family, we also need to recognize that Jesus was commanding something more than this particular form of love. Philia is the Greek word for friendship love. It's love based on the worth and the loveliness of the one who is being loved, the one you are loving, someone beyond yourself. And it's an entirely proper and a very valuable kind of love. However, this is also not the kind of love that Jesus was commanding. Philia, one of the most familiar representations of this is Philadelphia, or Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Agape love is the kind of love spoken of in John 3:16. God so loved. Agape love is sacrificial. It's self-denying. It's the Calvary kind of love. It can be commanded, and it is directed by the mind and the will of the person who chooses to love most deeply in a sacrificial, self-denying, unconditional kind of way. The love Jesus commanded us to have as his followers, to practice as our love toward others, toward ourselves, toward God, is this way, agape love. So this third kind of love, this love toward God, neighbor, self, Jesus commands this. And Jesus requires this of his followers. And I have to tell you, this is one of the reasons that I was so proud to be one of a group of educators who brought many Southern Illinois families together in a regional high school where their teens could learn and practice agape love during every school day. And we named the place what we wanted to happen, Agape Christian High School. Right. I'm glad that that's still going. What is the full extent of the command to love? Well, I think there are six issues. There are six factors. And so I'll give you these two. I give them to you. Number one, number two, number three, number four, and so forth. Number one, we must first and foremost have a proper love for God. Mm-hmm. You see, only as we dedicate ourselves to God and give ourselves over to seeing and seeking and desiring His glory, that is, truly love God, only then can we possibly have the capacity to properly go on and include the loving of ourselves and others. So we are to love God without any boundaries. Absolutely, completely. In Matthew, Jesus gave this reply to the inquiring Jewish Pharisee. He was testing. He was trying to trick, or maybe just plain to stump Jesus by asking him to choose and to highlight just one out of the myriad of Jewish laws. You know, he said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Just give me one." And so now what follows here is all in Matthew 22, starting in verse 35 and going through verse 39. I'm not going to read all of that, but Jesus said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." And I said, that's Jesus quoting Deuteronomy 6:5. That's the number one issue, the number one factor of love for the Christian. That's number one. Keep it right there at number one. Number two, we must have that proper love for ourselves, the deep and thorough loving. And I'm pretty sure that the Pharisee was completely taken by surprise as Jesus continued on. He went on. He didn't stop. Love the Lord your God. He said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, Jesus was quoting the Pharisees' own scriptures, Leviticus 19:18. And he was saying to him, you know, here's, it's right there in your scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in there, in those last two words, as yourself, is an almost hidden key concept. You see, it's vital that we look for, that we find, that we know the love that we have for self. Jesus desires that it be a deep and self-giving, self-sacrificing, self-love because, and this is a key thought, this is the measure by which we are to have Christian love for others, how we love ourselves. If for some reason we take stock and we find that that we hate ourselves or that we just dislike ourselves, then we are to know that in God's eyes, in His loving desire, we will not have the proper gauge by which we are supposed to know how to love others. All right. So, bear with me for just a minute. This is not going to be fun. Do you have times that you dislike yourself? Do you have, find yourself sometimes cutting yourself down, belittling yourself? Are you guilty of punishing yourself, say, for past failures or for bad decisions? Actually, things over which you now have no control, but the thought of them is still eating at you. Do you dislike the person whose reflection you see when you look in a mirror? Wait a minute. Whose business is any of that? It's my life, you say. Well, here's why this is of importance to you. It's important to anyone, and especially to Jesus Christ. Because if any of that is so, in any way not liking yourself, not liking the you that is you, you are depriving yourself of the capacity of how to truly love your neighbor. Perhaps our greatest need is to accept ourselves as God's special chosen creation. And as such, each of us is the personal object of His loving concern. As a follower of the leadership of Christ, accepting his grace and forgiveness, then we are to, with love, forgive ourselves of past failures or shortcomings. Do this. Demonstrate agape love, God-like love, towards yourself. And you know what? You'll discover that the Holy Spirit is enlarging your capacity to love others. Number three. Okay, so having identified self-love as integral to this, next we are commanded to love our neighbor with agape love. Well, the big question has always been, who is my neighbor? And, you know, one of the common answers is something like, the one who lives near me, you know, one who lives down the street. But luckily for us, that was the question of the Jewish Pharisee that led to the great parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Jesus answered that Pharisee by illustrating the answer in that famous story that's known by almost everyone. Everybody knows who the Good Samaritan is. Jesus would have us to believe that any person in need of our ministry and service is our neighbor, even someone we would normally consider a stranger or an outsider or even an enemy, like the Jews were to the Samaritans and vice versa. That was the key in that parable of the Good Samaritan. With that in mind, whom that you hadn't thought of before is now in your mind your neighbor? Issue number four. We are commanded to love one another. That's in John 13. This is the explicit command of Jesus to his very close band of disciples. It's what we read in our scripture of this morning. A new command I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. I could easily make a case for this as the command of Jesus for his church. We in this fellowship of believers of Bosquedale Baptist Church are spiritual descendants of those gathered with Jesus on the night of the Last Supper. That's when he gave that command. We are to love one another because each of us is an object of divine love. Whom God loves, we are to love. God created us, and he has called us to be a part of that group who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that group is called the disciples of Christ, Christians. Thus, we, each of us, is an object of the self-sacrificing love of Christ on the cross, and together we are now one another. We are to love one another because we are ones who have believed and thus experienced fully the love of Christ on the cross as he was resurrected. We're also to love one another as the way we demonstrate together the reality of Christ's presence in our lives. The outward display of our loving fellowship as a significant part of our witness for Christ. Our Christian love is to be the badge by which we are identified as today's disciples of Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the ultimate expression of love. Paul got it right as he always did. He wrote to the Corinthian Christians. He wrote to us all. If I speak in the languages of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13. In a fellowship of believers identified as the disciples of Jesus Christ, in the life of a church, Bosque Del Baptist Church, this is the starting point. Love. Without love, teaches Paul, nothing else really matters. Now, the fifth issue of who we are to love, we are commanded to love our enemies. This is the Matthew 5 scripture, the first one. This has always been a kind of a difficult passage for those who do not understand the nature of the love that Jesus is commanding us to put into practice. This type of love is not instinctual. It's not a romantic love. It's not even a friendship. It's not a social kind of love. To love an enemy is the Calvary kind of love, the particular kind with which we are to relate to those who mistreat us. We are to love an enemy as close as we can to the way God the Father loves. God's love does not discriminate, but pours itself out on friends and enemies alike. God's love is not motivated by human merit or by loveliness. God's love is governed by His own character, the godly character, which is always self-giving and, when necessary, self-denying. God's love seeks the good of both friends and foes. So try this with all your might. Think of someone who you know is against you in some way, and then try to do as you believe God would do. And the sixth issue of real love, man is commanded to love his wife. Get that, Melvin?
Yes, sir.
Got that one?
Yes,
sir. You'll find this pretty good in detail in Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 33. But I'll just give you a sketch. Here's a synopsis of what's there. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church in sacrificial, self-giving love. That's the 25th verse. A husband is to love his wife as he loves his own body. That's the 28th verse. And it's interesting to note that this commandment to husbands to love their wives is not with romantic love. That's not a part of that commandment. I'm reading the Greek words here. Love in this case is not eros love, but rather it's agape love. So for the past 3 weeks, three sermons on love, and you can almost reduce it down to three words. Well, you really can. God is love. Of course, when we do that, we kind of have to flesh it out a little bit, but the central point remains, God is love. Who's not to love? Well, what's the answer there? Nobody's not to love. As you deepen your understanding of God is love, the rest comes right along. God has loved each of us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and He continues to love us in the here and now. And God will continue to love us with an eternal love in heaven. And as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to respond sincerely and steadfastly with faith in God's love as it has been revealed to us in Jesus. Amen. Amen.